Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this community, Lord. We thank you for this building, even the opportunity to walk in, Lord, and commune with you. Lord, I thank you for song. I thank you for warming our hearts on a cold evening, Lord. I pray, God, as we dive into your scriptures here, that you would reveal your word to us. Lord, without your help, we cannot interpret this text. We cannot read it, Lord. So we ask your Holy Spirit to come, to be present here, to be present with me, Lord, to be present with these men, that they would hear your word and they would hear it clearly, Lord. Speak through me. Let it not be my words that they hear, Lord. Let it be your Holy Spirit speaking to them, God. Again, reveal your word to us tonight. In Jesus' heavenly name, amen. All right, our scripture tonight, if you guys have your Bibles, it's going to be in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. And follow along as I read here. I'll give you guys a second to get there. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Do you guys remember the storms of last January that passed through Albany? Do you guys remember the tornadoes? Were some of you guys here? Who was here for that? Who experienced that? We got a couple in the room. Yeah, so I was actually visiting. I was visiting Albany that weekend, or I guess it was the weekend afterwards. And I remember driving through some of the neighborhoods and seeing the utter devastation. And driving through and seeing people's homes literally hanging up in trees. You know, driving. I don't know again if you guys remember this, but driving around and seeing 200-300-year-old trees uprooted out of the ground, people's barns and homes flipped on their heads, really. And I remember driving through and just really kind of standing there in awe. And I got to say, my first reaction when you look at, my first reaction when looking over at a 200-300-year-old tree that had been uprooted, pulled out of the ground, is I felt pretty small. Mm-hmm. I felt pretty insignificant. It was heart-wrenching, too, to think that, I'm a passerby in this situation. I'm driving through and seeing the devastation and the turmoil that has just passed through and erupted, and I'm not even the one that had to experience it. Now, I want you guys to do me a favor real quick, okay? And just humor me here for a second. I want you guys to close your eyes for just a second, okay? Just bear with me here. I want you guys to close your eyes. And I want you to try and, for those of you that weren't there, again, some of us have experienced this, so we know what it's like. But for those of us that were not there, I want you to picture this situation, okay? So you're in your home here in Albany, all right? It's January. Tornado sirens going off. You can hear them in the distance. The whole house seems to shake and seethe with the wind and the rain. You can hear the rain battering on the roof. And you take a step towards your door, the whole house again shaking. You step forward, you grab the handle, turn it creaks. You pull it open, and you step out onto your front porch. And the rain and the wind just starts to batter you in the face. And you can hear that, I don't know if many of you have been around a tornado, but you can hear that roaring sound in the distance. It sounds like a train. You take another step forward out, maybe onto your lawn, maybe onto your front porch. The rain and wind encircling you and your home. And you're stepping out there, and maybe your arms are outstretched. And you look off in the distance, and straight ahead, about 100 yards out, is an EF4 tornado. And as you look up and as you see this monstrosity coming towards you, you see pieces of your neighbor's home flying around in it. Insulation, debris, and you're walking out there with your hands open. And let's take it a little bit. Let's get it a little bit deeper here. Maybe you're not alone. Maybe you're with your family too. Maybe you turn around and look to your right, and there your family is behind you, cowering in your shadow. And you're standing there in front of the storm with your arms outstretched. You guys can open your eyes. What power do we have over that storm? What power do we have to overcome that storm? What power do we have to stand in front of it and stop it, protect what we love? You know, again, as I was driving through these neighborhoods and looking at the utter devastation, I felt very small and insignificant. And I think in those situations, our first response honestly, is to look to something greater than ourselves. We look to some sort of explanation, maybe some understanding as to why this happened, how it happened, how we ended up here. And I remember feeling like that. And I remember driving around thinking, were I in this storm, where would I go? Where would my shelter be? Where would my refuge be? So what's at stake here? Well, it's our security, right? It's our lives. It's our literal life force. Our life source hangs in the balance here. And you know, maybe it's not the actual tornadoes. Maybe it's not the physical storms or the hurricanes or whatever that's affected your life, that's torn through and ripped your life apart. Maybe it's the storm of alcohol. Maybe it's the storm of physical abuse. Maybe it's the storm of depression. Maybe it's the seething rage and anger that just seems to overcome you. Maybe it's that incessant craving for a high, literally trying anything and everything you can. Maybe on a little bit less serious note, but still serious note, maybe it's gluttony, right? All right, we just finished up Thanksgiving, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. Don't make me stand up here and say I'm the only one who had to loosen up my belt for Thanksgiving, okay? The reason we're here tonight and the reason I wasn't here last time is because you guys went to Bine, right? Did they feed you well? Yes? Okay, well, at least one person's honest. But right, so maybe it's food. I have a dear friend of mine, and his biggest struggle is food. Now, I know that sounds weird, but literally, he will go on a 45-day diet, and the day that he's done, he will go out and pig out, and in 2 days, he'll gain 13 pounds. So maybe it's food. Maybe food is your storm. Maybe it's just selfishness. Sometimes we don't think that's a big deal, right? Maybe we still don't feel like sharing our things, sharing our possessions. And you see, what's interesting is that these things, maybe at first, don't appear to be all that dangerous, right? How bad can 4 slices of pumpkin pie be? But truthfully, anything, guys, anything that takes our eyes off of Christ, anything that takes our eyes away from Christ is life-threatening. It's life-threatening. I mean, you guys, okay, this is a pretty common story. You guys remember when Jesus called Peter out of the boat? You guys remember that story? Jesus is walking on water and he calls Peter out of the boat, right? Okay, well, a lot of people like to tell the first part of the story. Peter steps out of the boat. Great. Props. Kudos to Peter. You know, he steps out of the boat. He made that first step. But as he takes a couple more steps, guys, as he walks forward and he begins to look at the storm around him, he begins to look at the waves and the wind, immediately he starts to sink. Why? Because he took his eyes off Christ. Now let's sit with that for just a second, okay? We painted a pretty vivid image here, okay? Now let's just sit with that for a minute. So what I want you to do is I want you to consider to yourself, I want you to think to yourself, what is my storm, all right? What is it that you face in your life that seeks to rip apart everything that you know and hold dear? What is that for you? You see, again, in times of trouble, in the storms and the hurricanes of everyday life, we decide where or to what we will run to for help, right? If you're like me, guys, and I know that you are, we often choose to abide in our own strength. We often choose to trust in ourselves. We often choose in ourselves to be our own security. You know, I think that's one of our biggest pitfalls as men, right? And that's not to say that women aren't excluded from this, but as men, we're confident, right? That's a God-given characteristic. We're confident. We believe we're capable of getting it done. We are the protectors. We are the providers. We believe that we can not only take care of ourselves, but that we can also take care of those around us. And where has that attitude got us, right? Where has trusting in ourselves brought us? And if you're like me, and I know you are, again, I cheated. I know you are. I know you're like me. We've got a lot of scars, guys. Some of them are external. Some of them you can see. And some of them are internal. But scars nonetheless. And I think these scars, guys, are perfect reminders that we cannot indeed make it on our own. We cannot weather the storm on our own. So what's clear here? Well, what's clear is that we must abide in Christ. Okay, abide in Christ. Well, what does it mean to abide? And this is not a word, obviously, that we use in everyday speech. You don't walk around saying, I abide in this, I abide in that, right? So what does it mean? Well, the word abide, when translated in the original manuscripts, means to dwell in, to seek refuge in, to remain stable or fixed in some state of or condition, to lodge in. So what does that mean for us? Well, it means, guys, we must abide in Christ. We must rest in Christ. We must dwell in Christ. We must rely upon Him for our strength, for our security. He must be our refuge amidst the storm. Why? Because we're literally nothing without Him. Now, hear these words from John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. It says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. And get this right here, guys. Don't miss this part. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This confirms what we've already said. And honestly, what we probably already know. Apart from Christ, guys, we can do nothing. When we take our eyes off Christ, we start to sink. You know, it's what's really cool and interesting about this piece of text here, too, is that I believe the word abide in this context literally means to be grafted into the character of God. Right? When you think about a vine and a branches, the branches that come from the vine, they are literally a part of the vine. So what I think the text is saying here is that we are literally meant to be grafted in to the character of God. We are literally meant to be grafted in, become a part of who He is and a part of His character. And we know what happens, guys, to the branches that do not abide in the vine. They become dead. They wither. They fall off and are burned up in the fire and in the storms of life. So point number one, abiding in Christ. Why we must? Because He is our life source, gentlemen. And apart from Him, we are nothing. So good follow-up question, right? Why don't we abide in Christ then? I mean, it seems pretty obvious that this is, when we paint the picture this way, that this is our best course of action, right? This is what we should want to do. But you know and I know that this is not what we usually do. This is not what we normally do. So why is that? Why don't we abide in Christ? And the reality is this, guys, and this can't be news to anyone here, right? The reality is the reason we don't abide in Christ is because we like to be our own kings, right? We like to be our own rulers. We always want to be the captain of the football team. We want to be the ones calling the shots, making the big decisions. Submitting to authority, guys, is not natural for us. Now, I don't know if some of you guys have kids. I don't, at least not yet. But if you've ever tried talking to a 2 or 3 year old, trying to give them instruction, trying to tell them what to do, it doesn't even have to be a 2 or 3 year old. You could be a teenager, 12, 13 years old. You're trying to give them instruction and tell them what to do. What's their natural inclination? It's definitely not submitting to your authority. It's definitely not doing what you want to do and what you're telling them to do and the instruction that you're giving them. They want to be their own bosses. They want to be their own kings. They want to rule their own lives. Well, it's not any different in us, guys. Just because we're older now, that's not changed. And truthfully, this is the way that the world works as well. And again, that's not new news. See, the world wants you to believe this as well. The world wants you to believe that you are your own king, that you are the captain of your soul, that you're in charge of everything and anything around you. And that's why abiding in this world, guys, seeking our refuge and seeking our security in the things of this world is just as dangerous and just as life-threatening as abiding in our own strength and abiding in ourselves. And this can take a number of different shapes. I'm just going to throw out a couple examples here. All right, so maybe we seek our identity, maybe we seek our security and our political affiliation, right? That's a hot topic these days. The party system created, right? I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, I'm a libertarian, whatever it is. You got a lot of people out there that find their security in that. They find their security in their political party. Maybe it's security in our jobs. Maybe it's security in our careers, our possessions, our homes. Look, if we're putting our security in our homes, guys, I mean, go back to that image of the storm, right? What happens when you take a step to the left, the tornado goes by you, wipes out your whole home? If that's your security, if that's all you got in the world and all you're relying upon, well, you're done for, because that's it. It's leveled, completely smashed to the ground. So if my security is in my home, what do I have left? Ultimately, guys, living a life in which we choose to abide in the world is no different than choosing to abide in ourselves. It all goes back to the same principle, and that is we want to be on our own throne. We want to be our own king. We want to be our own ruler. So point number two, why don't we abide in Christ? Because we desire to be our own rulers. We desire to be our own authority. And I think when we look at it this way, as I've said, there's really only two choices. That is, to abide or seek refuge or security in Christ, or to dwell in our own strength, to trust in ourselves. That's honestly our two options that we have here. So again, let's take it back one more time, guys, to that image of the storm. Let's take it back to our personal storms. I hope you guys have been thinking about that as we've been talking about this. What is it that I'm facing? And I think we have to come to terms here with the fact that my life, your life, you and I standing together, our lives are testaments to the fact that we don't have any power on our own. We have no ability, no strength within ourselves to overcome these things. I have no ability to stand out in front of an EF4 tornado and just take it on. I have no ability to take on an alcohol addiction by myself and survive. It's not possible. But what's important here, guys, it's by ourselves. Don't miss that. By our own power, we have no strength to overcome these things. We have no strength to overcome our addictions. Now, if I stopped here tonight, if that was it, if I closed up the Bible, put this all away and said, all right, that's it, we're done for tonight, this would be a pretty hopeless message, right? This would be pretty frustrating. If I closed up shop and said, that's it, I mean, what hope do we have, right? That's what I'd be asking. You guys got to be thinking that too, right? What hope do we have then? And I remember looking out at that dark sky. There was still a pall, a dark sky over the city of Albany for at least like 2 weeks afterwards. And I remember looking up in the sky and thinking, what is my hope? Where do I turn in times of trouble? But take heart, gentlemen, for there is indeed hope. And what comes next, right? What comes after this? Well, the reality is that we have a choice, okay? I hope you guys heard that. I know it's been a while since I've been here, but about 4 weeks ago, I gave my testimony, and that was one of the points that I made. We have a choice. Don't miss that tonight, guys. We have a choice. We can choose to continue to trust in ourselves. We can choose to continue to trust in the world and what the world offers, or we can choose to abide and dwell in the strength of Christ. So, for question right off the bat is that, okay, all right, I got it. I'm good up to this point. I understand you up to this point. But how do I do that? How do I abide in Christ? How do I dwell in his security? How do I lodge myself? How do I become grafted into his character? And here's our, well, first of all, let's do this. Let's return back to that word abide, okay? And let's dive into it just a little bit deeper. See, there's really actually two sides of the coin to the word abide. It's both an active action, an active verb, and it's also a passive receiving. Active because, again, we choose, we make that choice as to who or what we will abide in. And passive because once, guys, we've made that choice, we're trusting in that thing, whatever it is, to protect us, to sustain us. And that's what it means to abide. We choose to trust in this thing or someone, and then we rely upon it to shelter us, to be our refuge. So again, how do we do this? How do we abide in Christ? How do we make that choice? And here's our answer. Listen, guys, it's not rocket science. I'm not coming to you with anything new today, okay? This is not a new discovery. What do? We pick up the Bible. We read His Word. We meditate on His Scriptures. We meditate on this living Word, this fountain of life. Look, guys, I promise you, you absolutely cannot pick up this book and read it and not have it change your life. I guarantee you, look, I will stake my life on it because I can't tell my life story without this book. I will stake my life on it. If you are truly seeking after Christ, you open up this book and you're looking for Christ and you're looking to seek after Him, I promise you, you will find Him. I promise you, you will find Him. What does it take, guys? It takes choosing to abide in Christ. What does that mean? Well, part of that means submitting to His authority. And that's a tough pill to swallow sometimes. Again, like I said, it's not our natural inclination. Naturally, we don't come into this world wanting or desiring to be under anybody's authority. I get that. But by choosing Christ, by reading His Word, by submitting to authority and reading and meditating on His Word, guys, we can dwell in Christ. And He is our refuge. He is our strength. He becomes our security when everything around us is devastated, when everything around us is torn to bits. We have to commune with God, guys. Hand your life over to God and give Him control. Let go of the wheel. And here's what helps me on a daily basis. I like to pray this. I say, Lord God, I submit to Your wisdom and authority. Help me choose You today. Help me to seek You in my everyday decisions, my everyday life. May it be Your strength, not mine, that guides me. Be my foundation. Be my rock. It can be as simple as that. A simple conversation that you have when you wake up in the morning. You say, God, I choose You today. I submit to Your wisdom. I submit to Your will. Open up His Word. I promise, guys, if you are earnestly seeking Him, you will find Him. Now, look, this doesn't mean that the storms won't come. Okay, I'm not giving you an end-all solution here, right? This is not a three-step plan to have no issues and no storms and no battles in your life. That's just not true. So don't hear that tonight, okay? This doesn't mean that the storms aren't going to come. This doesn't mean that we're not going to experience suffering. This doesn't mean that we won't find ourselves in those battles with our addictions and our deepest demons. Now, I think the Scripture instead, what it teaches us to do is to anticipate those storms. To expect that trouble will come our way. Christ tells us in Matthew, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. You know, I remember also in the Gospel of Luke where it talks about the man who builds his house on the solid foundation, the man who builds his house on the sand, right? Well, interesting part about it, that story is that in both of those situations, it's the same storm, guys. It's the same flood. The flood comes in, the man who built his house upon the sand is swept away. That same storm that comes, the man who built his house upon the rock, the solid foundation that is Christ Jesus, his house remains. Doesn't mean the storm isn't going to come. It matters what your security is. It matters what your foundation is. So abiding in Christ, last point, abiding in Christ, how do we accomplish this? Pray, read His Word, earnestly seek after Him, and He will be faithful to complete His work in us by His Holy Spirit. And this is my favorite part of the lesson right here, guys. This is our conclusion, okay? And this is a secret section per se. I was keeping hidden until now. It's my favorite part, all right? So what happens after all this? What happens after we abide in Christ? What happens after we choose Christ? What happens after we pray, we meditate on His Word? What is the result? I hear these words from Ephesians. It says, for through Him we have both access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers or aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Here's the best part, guys. In Him, you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And this is the best news I've heard all day. This is the best news that I've heard all day. This is the truth that will set us free. When we choose to dwell in Christ, when Christ becomes our security, when Christ is our foundation, it says that He will transform us by the work of the Holy Spirit into a literal dwelling place for the Lord on high. That's encouraging. That's encouraging to me, guys. That's our hope. That's what we got to hang on to, guys. That when we choose to abide in Christ, He gives us the Holy Spirit to transform our lives. All right, in closing, let's look at one more time where we come. All right, this is the path that we've cleared here. Abiding in Christ. Why we must? Because apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Apart from Christ, we will be swept away in the floods and the storms of life and die in our sins. Abiding in Christ. Why we don't, right? Why don't we do it? Because we like to be our own authority. We like to be our own kings. Abiding in Christ. How do we practically accomplish this? How do we do it? We submit to God's authority. We pray. We read His word. And what is the result? We are transformed into a literal dwelling place for God on high. I got to say, it's a different image altogether when I picture myself standing out there in front of that storm, in front of that EF tornado, and I look out in front of me and you see Christ Jesus standing out there in front of the tornado. I'd say that would give me a little bit more hope. I would say that would be a little bit better of a situation, right? Thinking about Peter stepping out of the boat. Fix your eyes on Christ, guys. Fix your eyes on Christ. Build your foundation on a solid rock, and you will not be swept away when those storms come. I want to close with one of my favorite life verses. This is from Psalm 73, and this has stuck with me for a long time. It has been an encouragement to me through many storms in my own life. And it says this: though my flesh and my heart may fail, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. We are guaranteed, guys, to fail if we trust in ourselves. We are guaranteed to fail if we believe that we can weather the storms of life on our own. Verse 27. For behold, those who are far off from you shall perish. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge. Choose this day whom you will serve. Draw near to Christ. Abide in Him, and He will draw near to you. Let's pray, guys.